an open invitation to pull up and park in the shade. We got the cooler pack next to the barbecue rack, lawn chairs soaking them blue skies back. Don't get no better than that. We're getting buzz like freshmen in the weekend sun, digging deep into the ice, grab the coldest ones, hear the crack, make them last. It's the first sip of summer chillax. We got the red solo glow and that pre-party flow. Steve Earle blasting through a 12-inch cone. I ain't wasted, I ain't getting stoned, I ain't getting fancy, I'm getting beer happy.
That was Beer Happy, the smash summer hit from Kitchener's own Griffin Brothers, who just happened to be my very special guest this week. My name is Stuart McKee, and this is Musicians FAQ.
You've got to love yourself before you love anybody else.
My guests this week are two extremely talented musical brothers, born into a very talented musical family. They are both singers, songwriters, and multi-instrumentalists. They've been performing on stage most of their lives. Their shows are high energy, fun, and extremely interactive. Please welcome to the show, Griffin Brothers. All right, so my guest this week on Musicians FAQ is Kitchener's own Griffin Brothers. Hey guys, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having us.
It's absolutely my pleasure. So as we always do on the show, we like to get back to sort of the very beginning and start with the basic stuff. Where were you guys born and what was your childhood like?
We were born in Kitchener, Ontario.
Yes.
What hospital was it? It was something like Grand River or something.
So about 10 minutes that way.
Yeah. born to musicians.
Yeah.
So I would say it was a good childhood. Like
I had a great time
playing music. Being nice. Around musicians, playing in town. Some would say it was a strange childhood, but like I think it was cool.
Strange in the respect of just the musicians and a lot of sort of bohemian stuff going on, is that?
Yeah, like I don't know, I say this a lot, but like everyone we kind of knew was a musician. Like everyone around us till we were probably like 8 was a musician. So like I just kind of grew up thinking that everyone was a musician. Like you grew up, you joined a band or you started a band, and like you did music as a career. So I remember going to school being like, oh, what does your dad play? And they were like, what?
That's great. Well, I mean, the world would probably be a better place if that were the case, but then there'd be no audience because it'd just be all musicians, but I mean, it'd be a lot of guitar circles going on, but nobody paying to get in.
There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah.
Yeah, nothing at all. So I know Ricky and I were, sorry, I got to make sure I get the shirt thing coordinated. We're talking again before the show and, you know, he got into drums at a fairly young age. Drums was his main thing and touched on the bass. And then Alex, what about yourself? When did you pick up your first instrument?
I started dabbling in guitar, but I learned my first chord when I was like 3 or 4. But I think I like actually started playing and like focusing on getting better when I was like 7 or 8. And then more in sort of the terms of like learning charts when I was like 9 or 10. And then when I was like 11 or 12, I started playing like my own gigs.
Right on. And sorry.
One there.
Oh, cool. Sorry, Ricky. I think you mentioned actually your first gig was when you were 4.
So. Yeah, we were with our dad. And he was at the Grand River Hotel in Cambridge.
No, we played at TJ's too.
Oh, yeah, there's TJ's.
That was like 2. There's pictures of us. So, like, my dad used to play in town and do matinees.
Yeah. We weren't in bars, like, when it was nighttime. They were matinees, so we were allowed in.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So, we would, like, yeah, we would get on stage with dad.
Whenever he'd play in town or
whatever. Yeah, and just yell into the microphones and hit everything as loud as we could.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah, I remember there's a lot of the country bars, especially were famous for doing the matinees. That was cool.
Yeah.
A lot of shows or open mics and things like that. So TJ's, that was the old Mother's Pizza, I think, wasn't it? Out by,
I think it was way back when. Yeah,
out by Fairway Road. And it was a bit of on the rougher side. I mean, all the country bars were kind of rowdy and fun, but I remember that one being a little bit maybe, I don't want to use the word sketchy, but maybe more on the sketchy.
Yeah, they were. There was a crowd there for sure.
An interesting crowd.
Like the Grand. I've played there too. That's a fun place.
Which one, sorry?
The Grand in Cambridge. It's a place to play.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like it gets packed in there, but you're like, man, this place, there's a bar here. Like you just, there's, it's kind of, you wouldn't expect there to, just the location. You're like, this is.
Yeah, 20 or 30 years ago and, you know, predating your existence, maybe there was some interesting bars and some really, really rowdy places to see live music and, you know,
people
doing lines of coke at the table and bouncers tossing people around, and they got pretty rowdy and pretty messy. And, you know, we didn't have the drinking and smoking laws back then either. So it was pretty much a free for all.
Well, yeah. Like I was going to say, like when we turned 19, like, I mean, I turned 19 like 2 years ago, you couldn't smoke in bars then.
I turned 19 during COVID. So.
He's never even been to like a nightclub.
I was barely allowed in.
He's never been to a nightclub.
No.
That's sad. Yeah, I can't even imagine what this has been like for people in their teens and younger. My son's 11. I mean, we had so much freedom when we were your age and so much fun. And you didn't have to worry about, you know, your biggest worry was maybe a homework assignment or something like that. Or, you know, whether that girl liked you or whatever. But
yeah,
completely different element that you guys have had to endure. So I would imagine the music was a big help through that period, though.
Yes. Yeah. It was. Yeah.
I played guitar every day for like 4 hours.
And not only that, because I guess the music industry kind of evolved really quickly to deal with COVID.
Yeah.
So like whether you were like doing writes with other artists in person, it was like, okay, then we'll just do them on Zoom or FaceTime or something like that. Because you still get to talk to the person. And so it kind of distracts you from all this stuff going on and you just get to sit down and write a song.
Yeah, I probably wrote more songs than I've ever written in my life over that span of lockdown. And I've gotten some of the best stuff I've ever written just because I had the time to focus on it and like really work with people who wanted to teach me the things I needed to learn.
So have you guys always been writing songs? Like I noticed looking at there's only the 3 songs on Spotify currently. And I think only two of them were not written by you guys. And then I think one, Alex, looked like it was a collaboration with you and...
Yeah, it was me.
Yeah, it was both of us.
Oh, okay, sorry. Is the songwriting thing something that's been a new development or has that always been there? Like, when did you guys write your first songs? Did you write them together or separately? Or?
You started writing before I did.
Yeah, I probably started in high school. I took a songwriting course in high school. It It was like a songwriting slash recording course. And I mean, I dabbled in it before then. Like, I always wrote. I had a lot of problems. Like I didn't like sleeping very much when I was a kid. So, like, I'd write a lot, whether that be like just like crazy mess in my head that I was frustrated and wanted to write down, or general poem or song ideas. But once I got to like high school, I put it more in the sense of, okay, this is a chart. I'm going to write it to like verse, chorus, bridge. That song structure, that probably set in around high school. I wasn't good at it in high school. That's not like I haven't really, I think I focused a lot on it probably for about a year or two in high school. And then over the last 3 years, really, really focused a lot heavier on it.
Take a look from my perspective. Either way, I'd let you down. So I decided that you deserved more. You shouldn't cry, 'cause I stopped trying. But somehow I need to find a way to move on. I've been waiting on a phone call that's never gonna come. Laying here in my bed wondering what I could have done. I've been waiting on a phone call that's never gonna come. Laying here in my bed wondering what I could have done. Can't help overthinking and I can't believe we're done. But I keep second guessing myself, she might be the one. I've been waiting on a phone call that's never gonna come. Laying here in my bed wondering what I could have done. Can't help overthinking and I can't believe we're done. But I keep second guessing myself, she might be the one. But I keep second guessing myself, she might be the one.
That was She Might Be the One, written by Alex and Ricky Griffin. Do you have any recordings? Do you still remember any of those early songs, or was that just kind of a process to get to where you are now?
Yeah, I think I have a couple copies of them somewhere, and they will never see the light of day. But they're fun to look back on and go, yeah, like I wrote. I mean, I remember a friend of mine. We went to an art school, so it was kind of weird. Everyone in the school kind of did something in the arts. And a friend of mine was a dancer and she did ballet. And she was like, oh, we're shooting this video and we need like a recorded song, but it needs to be written. So can you write and record something for this time? And I was like, okay, yes. And I said yes before I really like thought whether or not I could actually pull it off. And I was already like, okay, well, I have to do it now.
Yes.
And that was like the first full-on written and recorded project I did. And it turned out not so great. But looking back on it now, but in high school, I was like, this is the coolest thing I've ever done.
Oh, for sure.
And then I got a co-op in high school at a recording studio. So that also helped a lot, the, I guess, system of recording.
That's pretty cool. And what about you, Ricky? What were you, regular high school? Were you in art school as well?
We both went to the art school. It's Eastwood Collegiate in Kitchener. I didn't really start writing until we started Griffin Brothers. So I was playing in high school. Like, I was playing a lot, but I just kind of focused on that, and I didn't really take into consideration writing and stuff. So we started Griffin Brothers, and I was like, oh, I guess I should start writing music. Big development over COVID and stuff since we started writing.
That's awesome. But it's interesting, Alex, like you're saying, you're asked and you just said yes right away. And I think that's probably the key to a lot of people who are successful versus, and not just in music and arts, but I think in any field, I've always been of that mind. I mean, you don't get anywhere by kind of doubting yourself. You may doubt yourself internally, because like you said, you kind of panicked after you made the commitment, but then it forces you. And I think that's kind of what separates the successful people from the people who just continue to do it as a hobby or just to be dreamers. But I think that's a big step. I mean, I always love when actors will talk about how, you know, they're offered a role and they say, hey, do you ride a horse? Or do you ride them? Oh yeah, absolutely. And then they're like, now what do? I got to go out and learn how to do this. But
yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know. I mean, you're always going to kind of look back on projects being like, man, I wish I could have done this, or I wish I could have done this instead. But like, I think the best thing to do is be like, yeah, I'm going to say yes to it because I always wanted to do something like this. And I'm going to do it as best as I can to make it a project that I'm proud of. And if later on in the future, I want to look back and be like, oh, I could have done this better, well, I'm just going to do a different project that I think is better then.
Yeah.
Because like, as long as you're still creating new ideas and coming up with new stuff all the time, you're going to stay relevant. Like, that is, this industry is just coming out with and experimenting with new sounds and coming out with stuff that you're proud of at different points of your life, right?
Yeah, no, I agree. It's interesting. I mean, we're very quick to put people in categories and genres and sort of judge people by their current work or judge them against their past work or whatever. But people tend to have short memories sometimes too. So, I mean, if you put out a stinker, but then you come back a year later, or a week later with a really killer song, people will forgive and forget pretty quickly. And they'll say, wow, this is
it's
a huge development. And maybe for the benefit of the interview a bit, Ricky, or both of you can maybe expand. You and I were talking a little bit about your experiences with the bands that you played in high school, and the different instruments. Give us sort of a rundown on that again.
Do you want to go first? Or do you want to...
You can start.
All right. Well, we're starting with a good... Well, we'll start with, like, Eastwood bands. So we, in grade 9 and 10, I was in... Junior, this is like concert bands, right? So I was playing percussion for junior band, junior jazz, and senior band and senior jazz, which was concert band. And then me and Alex were both in Sea Cadets, so we were in band in that. So I was playing bass, drum, and snare drum, and then later on moved to being a drum major, but that's not an instrument, so
yeah,
doing that. And then outside of like school and cadets and stuff, me and Alex had a band called Weekend Replay.
Yeah,
that was fun.
It was cool. It was punk rock.
Yeah. We played one open mic at Bobby O'Brien's.
Yep. And I think we played at the Boathouse a couple times.
Oh yeah, once. That was fun.
And then played with Jamie Williams a couple
times. Yeah, right? I played with Jamie Williams. And then me, Alex, my dad,
our current bass player Paul,
we started a band just for fun called Family Table, and then I guess we played with them until we started Griffin Brothers. Yeah.
I didn't start in bands. I started, like, my first show, like, professional show, I think I was, like, 12. I started with Kyle Wappler does Half Hope shows. I played one of his events at the Little Bean. That place doesn't exist anymore, but it was by Ziggy Cycles.
Yep, I remember that.
It was a nice venue, and I played there when I was like, yeah, I think I was like 12. And then when I was around 14, I started getting into like high school bands. We started Weekend Replay. I also was in junior jazz, senior jazz, junior band, and senior band. I played trumpet. And then I think I was also in orchestra for a little bit. But I was in other arts at Eastwood at the same time. I was in drama, vocal major. So I was in some choirs and some a cappella groups there as well. But then probably around like grade 11 was when I started gigging a lot heavier. I was playing like 3-4 nights a week sometimes, just with different bands and in Kitchener. I played with Jamie Williams a lot. I played a couple shows with Josh David. I was doing the jams at the Boathouse. Yeah, I just tried to spend as much time on stage in those like 3-4 years as I could.
Perfect. Yeah, good for you. I mean, obviously a lot of different influences and experiences and genres of music, and truly some multi-instrumental. Being a multi-instrumentalist really helps kind of grow and develop your craft. That's fantastic. And I was at the Boathouse for a few years, so I probably, and used to hang out there quite a bit, so probably saw you jamming down there. You mentioned, mentioned Kyle Wappler. I don't know if that's his, I went to school with Jim Wappler, and I think Kyle might be his son.
Maybe he's married to Brittany.
Yeah. And they just had a baby, I think. Is that?
Yeah. Or they're having another one.
Yeah. Okay. And then I think
we're playing a show for Kyle soon, actually. He's a great dude.
Oh, right on. Yeah. And I think we had another mutual friend. Well, we talked about already, with Devin Braby, who was your CEO and cadets, apparently a bit of a badass.
I remember he like scissor kicked something on the ceiling, and I was like, okay, because he's like, he's not a tall guy.
No, he's a little guy.
But he could, because he's a black belt, so he could just jump and kick, and I'm like, okay, you're nuts, like, don't yell at me, sir.
It's a good way to earn respect. I should have tried that in restaurants or
start kicking, just scissor kick the ceiling.
Well, sometimes I yell or throw stuff. I mean, but anyways, I don't want to digress into that. So getting back, we touched on already, I mean, obviously, family was playing music. Your dad played in bands and took you out to the bars and things like that. You mentioned a sister. Was she musical as well? Or?
She will never admit
she
to
won't
it,
admit, but she is a great singer.
She's never been on stage with you guys yet? Or?
No,
We're trying our best.
But you might see it one day.
And then you had the little guy out. Is that Callum, I think? Was that Caleb?
That's my manager's son. He stole the show. He was great.
He sure did. Yeah, he was fantastic. I wasn't sure if that was a nephew or somebody, but...
it's my manager's son. He's a really good kid.
Born entertainer, and he was there the whole night. That was quite the
endurance. Oh, yeah. No, he worked hard. So I went up to him at the end of the night. I was like, hey, man, how's your first show? He was like, it was great. Next gig, though, I need earplugs. I was like, 6 years old and he already has a rider.
Oh, yeah. That's beautiful. Yeah, probably need some special colored M&Ms as well. So, so your dad, guitar player, singer, songwriter. And then, so were you guys always into country music? I mean, obviously it was around you, but was there a first song or first artist that inspired each of you, or was it?
It was a mixture of a little bit of everything. Country was kind of the main thing that happened in our house.
Yeah. I'd say like my two, I don't know, maybe top songs would have been like Crazy Train by Ozzy Osbourne, but also like Calypso by John Denver. So like very weird musical mixes, but I don't know. We kind of grew, we grew up listening to everything.
Yeah. It's crazy.
I don't know. What about you?
Oh, man. I gotta have something. I think any John Denver song and some Johnny Cash tunes too.
Beautiful.
Like Walk the Line. That might have started it all for this guy.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm a massive Johnny Cash fan. And
Walk the Line is also a great movie. If you haven't had the chance, watch the movie. It's so good.
Yeah, I've seen it a couple times now. It's I mean, John Denver certainly just one of the great voices and
incredible songwriter.
Just really amazing, and quite a story too with that guy too. I mean, flying those kit planes and things, which is eventually what did him in. But
he wrote a song called "Leaving on a Jet Plane," and he literally left on a jet plane and never came back.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, what a way to go.
It's not a joke. That's terrifying. You can't I'm gonna write a song and that's gonna be how I die now.
Yeah, well, who'd have known? Well, I mean, plane crashes, small plane crashes aren't that uncommon for musicians, at least back in the day. I mean, you know, there's certain
Randy
things.
Roads, Randy Rhodes.
Yeah, I remember when that happened. And I'd just seen them maybe shortly before, the year before, at the Center in the Square. And they recorded their first album. Yeah, I mean, Randy Rhodes was just incredible.
Incredible.
So first album had come out and they're just starting to play some songs from the second album at that show. And then you're thinking, wow. And then that happened. You're, geez, 24 and so much more.
Yeah. I would say.
And then schooling and education beyond that, you guys, high school is where it stopped and music is now the thing, right?
Yeah. That was, I went right into it.
Well, to be fair, in cadets, we went to summer camp specifically for music.
Yeah. So like, I studied music. It's not like I studied it in school all year round. Like I probably studied music from like 14 every single month of every year in different formats, whether it was marching, school. Like I did school from September till June. And then we went to camp from like the end of June till the end of August, or like the middle of August, which we specifically just studied music for. So we probably did that till we were like 17.
Yep.
Might be a good time to, you guys got the guitars tuned up. Do you guys want to play a tune for us?
Sure. No, I just forgot the words, actually.
I did.
You can rewrite it as you go.
Yeah.
Are we doing this one? Yeah. This one isn't out yet, but it's coming.
It's not. It is. It's the next one.
It's called Full Stop. And it's probably one of my favorite songs so far.
I love this song.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Had my face down in my phone. Wasn't even looking for a number from somebody who paused the world around me. Sidewalk stumbling, walking home from work again. Song played in my head till you came crashing in. There was nothing that could slow me down. But I can barely breathe right now. Cause you got me frozen full stop. Swear I didn't see the mic drop. Spun me around and I came undone. Walk away. Cause I just can't run. Red light dead in my tracks. No turning back, kind of car. Yeah, I think I love you full stop.
Excuse me, I apologize. I was lost up in your eyes. Didn't see it coming. Girl, I swear I wasn't trying to make you extra late. Call it luck or call it fate, but this feels like a moment we should keep a hold of. Cause I don't even know your name. Still, you got me frozen full stop. Swear I didn't see the mic drop. Spun me around and I came undone. Walk away cause I just can't run. Yeah, I think I'll stop what I'm doing, cancel my plans. I ain't moving till you're taking my hand. Think I love you full stop. Swear I didn't see the mic drop. Spun me around and I came undone. Walk away cause I just can't run. Red light dead in my tracks. No turning back, I caught. Like a deer in the headlights. Staring stuck tied up in knots. Yeah, I think I love you full stop. I think I love you full stop. Oh, I think I love you full stop. I think I love you full stop.
Yeah, great tune. That's awesome.
Thank you.
One of the things that really stands out for me with you guys, I'm sure you've heard it, the harmonies are just killer. And there's...
Thank you.
There's something, you know, I mean, you got great people who just click and harmonize like Crosby, Stills, and Nash, but there's nothing better than when siblings sing. I mean, like the Everly Brothers.
Because we have the same
genetics, same voice.
Yeah, there's just a magic there with the harmonies. And singing along with your dad on Friday night was great as well. Is he going to be on you? Does he work or play on any of the records or recordings with you? I know you had him doing the.
Not yet. We're trying
to think about it. We're going to try and get him on
soon enough.
That'd be cool. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I know you got him doing the sound, and he brings all the gear. And is he managed, or you got a separate manager as well?
No, we don't have any management right now.
No.
Yeah, he comes and helps us out with sound because he's better at it than me.
Nice. Well, that's fantastic. So, you know, one of the questions I always like to ask is, you know, when did you realize you wanted to do music full time, and was that always a plan? Is there any plan B? But it doesn't really seem. I mean, you guys have been playing pretty much out of the womb, and music all around you, and all your education and all your time and all your energy has been playing and writing and learning and listening. I mean, was there ever a point where you kind of wanted to do something else, or is it just always, man, we're doing music and this is it?
I mean, there was other stuff in the music industry that I wanted to do.
Sure.
But like not, I mean, playing and being on stage kind of always things revolved around that. Like I'm not like, if I wasn't a musician, I'd be a great homeless dude. I can't use a laundry machine, my man. Like, I'm not cut out for this life. So,
music's all we got.
Like, I really like recording. I like engineering stuff, like engineering studio sessions. And I also like doing the post-audio stuff. I've been really lucky. I've gotten to work with guys like Jason Barry, Chris Coleman at Studio A, Sean Moore, they teach me a ton of stuff. So like the whole recording side of things is a fun world that I want to get into in other sides, but I still want to be playing and being on stage.
Nice. Yeah. Jason's brilliant. I had the pleasure. I haven't seen him in many, many years since he kind of, before he took off. I got to know him and Jamie Warren used to come out and jam with us at O'Toole's back in the early 90s. And, yeah, I mean, couldn't believe it. I mean, just incredible guitar player and those guys together.
In the early 90s, Woody was playing for my dad.
Oh, yeah? Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow, there you go. Yeah, well, I know.
My dad brought him up from New Brunswick for the first time.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm wondering if we maybe even had crossed paths with your dad at some point. But yeah, we had a jam night at O'Toole's. It would have been around 91 to 93 every Sunday night. So yeah, check with him. See if
maybe.
It's a small world in the music industry. There's
no that would overlap.
Yeah. That's crazy. So upcoming projects and events. So is there a plan for a full CD or an EP, or what's the next step recording wise?
We're not too sure how we're going to release things yet, but we're recording a ton of stuff.
A ton.
Yeah. Like
there's a lot of music that will be coming out, but we're just not too sure how we want to release it yet.
Yeah, like it's a lot of content. So we want to make sure we do it justice with how we release it and make sure it doesn't just kind of get eaten up too quickly. Like that is one of the things in the music industry. It's like, doesn't matter how much content you put up. You put out 30 songs, give it 3 months, and those 30 songs, they want new ones, right? Yeah. So it's like, well, can you put out 7 songs and leave that out for a month and a half and do that however many times?
Right. Yeah. And,
so it's just kind of seeing what things work, what doesn't work. I mean, that's also the thing of being new, right? Like we're just trying all this stuff for the first time ourselves.
Sure. Well, that's great. And how active are you? I know you guys are on Instagram, Facebook. Are you on all the streaming sites, and are you like doing TikTok and things like that, or some of the newer platforms?
Yeah. We dabble on TikTok. We haven't done TikTok in a while, but our TikTok is like, it goes pretty well. People seem to like it. We just get to be goons. We don't really relate it too hard to music. We just kind of be silly.
There's a few music tunes on there, but we like being silly.
But yeah, I mean, we're on everything. All like streaming platforms we're on. And then like Rust on It and Beer Happy has radio releases behind them. This next one will be going out to everything as well. Yeah. And going to radio as well.
Right on. So yeah, two things. We'll give you a chance to kind of plug exactly what all your socials are and your website and stuff. But yeah, the entertainment part of it, and it really is a show. I mean, when you come out to see you guys on stage, I mean, there's a spontaneity and there's a camaraderie and there is some silliness and some fun going on interacting with each other and the audience. And, you know, but the playing is serious. I mean, you guys are singing your asses off and playing your asses off and the songs are great and the band is great. But how important to you is it to to sort of be yourselves and just make it, you know, more real and entertaining and silly and fun.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah, I'm glad, like, you think that, because we're on there going, holy crap, did we look stupid? But, like, I think, I don't know, like, especially when people haven't really had a chance to see live music yet, like, yeah. I think there's just, like, a fun element to being at a show or being where a band likes, like, I think part of being a good band is making sure that the crowd or the people you're entertaining are having a good time. And I think there's some sort of irreplaceable side of just kind of being on the fly to some degree and like kind of making fun of each other, fun of each other and throwing jabs, as long as it's playful, or like making fun of yourself on stage. I don't know. Like, we do that a lot.
Yeah.
We make fun of ourselves a lot, but I think if you can do that and it's funny and like the crowd gets it, then it goes over. And like, 'cause at the end of the day, you're there to entertain. And people don't want to see you just kind of play a list, right? Like, they're hiring a personality.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, would I hang out with these guys? Do I want them to come over to my table and have a drink and say hi?
Yeah. It's also really important to, like, actually be yourself on stage. Because if you're on stage and you're being fun and active and playful and stuff, and then you make your way around to say hi to people in the audience who are doing this, and you're just totally different, then they're like, okay, well, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
so they kind of want to be a part of what's going on stage. And right. It's really important to make them feel like they are.
Yeah, I think, like, generally speaking, if people wanted to go hear 50 songs, they would plug in their phone and press play, right? Sure. Like, I think that's the fun part about seeing a band is going, okay, are these guys going to be fun? Like, would I hang out with them?
Yeah. Yeah, you felt like you were part of a party, part of an event that was going on. I mean, and it wasn't closed off. I mean, you know, you walk in, and it has a little bit of that sort of backyard house party element.
Yeah.
But it was professional as well. And yeah, I mean, you guys were exactly what I expected. I mean, I had never met you. I had seen you on Instagram and things like that and some of the promos for Beer Happy. And I thought, boy, these guys look like a lot of fun. And, you know, and then you meet you and you're much like that and you're in the crowd and you're talking to people and, you know, and it was just, you could have just been somebody in the crowd. Until all of a sudden you get on stage and then
that's where all the fun is.
Yeah. Yeah. That was awesome.
Like, I don't know, if we're doing our jobs, everyone in the crowd is drinking and have a good time. That's where I want to be. I want to be having a good time.
Yeah, that's great. Well, you're definitely conveying that. You pulled it off. And then as far as touring, I know, Ricky, you're saying before the show, you guys will go wherever, anywhere, you know, Alberta.
Yeah,
you've got a show. Wherever. So why don't we take a second, plug some upcoming shows and then talk about your website, Instagram, you know, the sort of the official names, where people can find you and keep up with you. And is there a, you know, a mailing list or something that they can get on and things like that?
We're on upcoming shows.
We are in Niagara Falls at Big Texas this Saturday.
We're playing 10 to 2.
10 to 2.
Yeah, we're playing the main stage inside, so... we have a great band for that one as well. That's going to be a super fun night.
Yeah, it's going to be the same bass player and drummer, but we have
Ryan Kassar on guitar. He plays for Mackenzie Lee Meyer. He's great. He's a great player. We're really looking forward to that because I've heard Niagara Falls is a party town.
It is.
So Griffin Brothers are coming. After that, we're in Waterloo. Like, the week after that, we're in Waterloo all week. I think.
Yes, on the 6th and 7th.
Yeah.
We're at Lana's Lounge on the 6th. That's just an acoustic show, so it's just me and Alex.
And then we have a couple other private events then later in August.
Okay.
And then might be making our way out to, like, London in September and possibly out west.
Nice.
I'm not sure.
Wherever the music takes you. And then the and then the socials?
Our main one, like, that we respond to most often is probably our Instagram, which is _ Griffin Brothers. Next quickest would be Facebook, which is I think it's just Griffin Brothers. Twitter
is Griffy Boys, because that's what our producer Sean Moore calls us. He calls us his Griffy Boys. So so we just made that our Twitter.
And then I think our TikTok is just Griffin Brothers Official.
Yeah.
I will check that. It is _ Griffin Brothers. My bad.
Okay, so
same as our Instagram.
Right. And then the website's griffinbrothers.com?
Griffinbrothers.ca.
.ca, of course.
Yeah.
All right, fantastic. Well, I mean, I think we're wrapping up on time here. We'll hopefully get a chance to get you guys to do one more song. But before we do that, we want to take a stab at these, the 10 questions. We'll do the questionnaire. Made famous by the French host, Bernard Pivot, and once again, made even more famous by James Lipton on the Actor's Studio. You better stretch for this one. You better get ready. We'll start easy and then we'll work a little harder. I don't know who wants to go first. I guess you want to go, you know, he's older. So I guess.
You're older.
Oh, I'm oldest. I'll go first. Yeah.
All right. All right. So Alex, what is your favorite word?
Favorite word is probably the. Just has a ring to it.
Interesting. and it's used in so many sentences.
Exactly. Like, honestly, I like that it's consistent. It's always there for me.
It's a good lead in, at least people hanging. Like, it's like you're like the, and then now I'm waiting. But okay.
No, it's just that. Yeah, it has a ring to it. I like the way it sounds. The. Yeah. I said it again. There you go. I'll continue to say it.
Beautiful. Ricky?
I'm going to go with marmalade. It just sounds funny.
Rolls off the tongue.
Yeah.
it reminds me of a joke my buddy used to play when we talked about people in certain circles that would get annoyed if they used overly large words. And he'd say something like, you know, the biggest word I know is marmalade, and I call that jam.
That's right. Yeah, I call that jam.
Yeah.
All right. So what turns you on creatively, spiritually, emotionally?
Turns me on creatively. I spend a lot of time just kind of like listening to music. I think when I need to kind of just like decompress, I'll put on just some random playlist, or I'll find like an album that I can listen to all the way through, one song after another. And it sounds really weird, but like I'll put on eye covers and just lay flat on my back and just like listen to music until the album's complete and not think about anything until it's over. And when I come out of it, I'm like, okay, this is it. So I'm good now. I don't know.
That's not weird at all. That's how we used to listen to Pink Floyd in the 70s. And there might've been some herb involved as well, but.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't want to say that. I didn't know if this was an all ages show or not. Ricky doesn't dabble too hard into that, but
no.
I on the other hand,
Alex is
dead. I like all the herbs and spices.
Alex dabbles every now and again.
Well, the difference is in my day, it wasn't legal. Now you guys have the benefit
now
of
it. Now it is. Exactly. So,
which maybe takes some of the fun out of it. I don't know.
Honestly, no. I'm a paranoid person, man. I can't handle. I'm like, dude, they know. But now I'm like, they don't care.
All right. Ricky, how about for you?
Honestly, probably just like a drive. Like, I'll drive either to or from work. I'll just drive with no music and just not think about anything and just let my body take over with driving. Nice. And it just kind of relaxes me a bit.
Yeah, I can relate. It's funny. I used to always drive with the tunes cranked, but now I find sometimes you just turn it off and it's nice.
There's times where I absolutely max out the speakers in my car, roll all the windows down,
turn the radio up, let the wind blow through your hair.
Yeah.
Well, catch it. Like, you guys still have lots of hair. Actually, up until a week ago, I did too. But
for now.
Yeah.
Well, the hair, when you get older, the hair goes and so does the hearing. So take it easy. But
that's why I wear protection at shows.
I noticed that, actually. I was impressed. We never thought about that back in the day. So what turns you off?
Creatively?
Or just in general, in life, anything at all?
Ignorance. Yeah. I mean, in like any sense, man. Like, if I don't know what I'm talking about, like, I'll say that right up front. Of like, dude, I have no education on this topic. This is like, I'll discuss it with you, but like, don't take anything I say seriously. But when you have people who are like, nope, this is true, it's like, you don't know what I'm talking about, actually.
Yeah, there's a lot of people these days, especially the last year or two, who really, I mean, you know, deal in untruths and propaganda and bullshit, and you know.
Yeah, I mean, I also don't think there's so many things that it's like, there's so many other things to like about people. Why do you got to sit there and talk about the things you don't?
Yeah, I agree. Ricky, what about for you?
Probably just like really loud, annoying noises. you know, like a high-pitched, like, squeak or, like, the sound of Alex's voice. It's just other things like that.
Yeah.
How the truth comes out.
Yeah, I got a button on the side of my head that he pushes when I talk too much. Yeah, he's like, hey,
stop it. I've had enough.
All right.
I have a word count, actually. I can't hit over, I think it's over 800. Yeah. We lowered it. It used to be 11, but still drove.
That's why I have my clicker going all day, just because he never stops.
He counts. Perfect.
That's awesome. Favorite curse word?
I don't know if I can say it on
that. I don't think you can.
My mom's in the other room.
You can give us a hint or you can abbreviate it. You can say it. I can always bleep it out. But
If he bleeps it out, I'm going to say it.
Yeah, like, okay, you can say it. We say it a fair amount. Not around, like, a lot of people, but we call each other it all the time.
Yeah, if you can bleep it. Mom, plug your ears. That's a good one.
All right. What sound or noise do you like?
No. Nothing to say about that. It's just like,
this is my favorite one.
Well, it was funny because I just did an interview recently, and it was, that was their least favorite word. And they didn't want to say it, but they gave the abbreviated, see you next Tuesday.
I don't like calling people. Like, if you're serious, you can't actually call someone that.
Right.
Like, I just call him it because
I know it's a joke.
Among brothers, everything is fair.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A good kick in the arse.
Like, that's not like, that's a word you pull out very frequently or like very hush, carefully hush. With who you got to pick your audience carefully for that one. But if it's just him, yeah, that's honestly his middle name.
Yeah.
Right on the birth certificate. All right. So what sound or noise do you love?
Sound or noise do I love? I live at the cottage. I will sit in our sun porch and just listen to the rain come down onto all the trees. That is like, that'll knock me right out.
Great sound.
Either that or also at our cottage, we have a lot of loons. So you'll just sit out on the dock and just hear them just make their noise. And
or it's the
just,
wolves.
Or the wolves. There's also wolves up there and they howl and stuff and it's really nice.
Perfect Canadian answer. All right. And what sound or noise do you hate?
Alex's voice.
Ricky already said.
Seems to be a pattern here.
When you're up at the on the lake or just like somewhere you find you're like quiet for the most part, like on a lake or like in the woods or something, and then there's just like a random car that's just like really loud, just whips past, or a boat or whatever it happens to be.
Nah, don't worry.
It annoys the hell.
Children screaming. That is like, that I have to say, that is like, if I'm 21 years old. I'm a 21 year old young man. I don't know.
If they're screaming because they're hurt, then it's
different.
But if like, it's just random screaming, no
way. Yeah, like when they're walking down the hall in the mall, and just screaming at the top of their lungs because they want to. Nope. Least favorite sound.
Yeah, or that.
I wish there were a golden buzzer for least favorite sound.
I agree. Or that high-pitched scream. I outlawed that with my kid years ago. I said,
it's always little boys that do that.
Yeah.
Little girls can't scream that high.
All right. So what profession other than your own would you like to attempt? Or is there one?
This is super lame, but I'd love to be in a musical. I think that'd be cool if I could like
be like an actor.
I wouldn't want to be like a lead. I ain't that good. I like would not be good enough at acting, but I could be like in the chorus. I'd do that.
Same for you, Ricky, or something different?
I don't think I'm good at anything else.
I can
cut grass pretty good.
All right, fair enough. Well, you know, and I could see the Griffin Brothers musical in about 20 years. Like, once you guys become huge stars, and then it's kind of your retirement thing. So maybe that leads to another question. I mean, if there was a Griffin Brothers musical, who would you guys want to play you?
Want to play me?
Play me.
Ooh.
Oh, man. Who would do... Honestly, Sarah Jessica Parker would probably do a really good Alex. I think she would kill it.
I like Mark Wahlberg.
Get out of here. You can't have Mark Wahlberg.
Mark Wahlberg.
No, you'd have Jonah Hill.
All right, I'll take Jonah. Or Seth Rogen or something.
Seth Rogen. Honestly, yeah. I'd say Seth Rogen or Sarah Jessica Parker would play me.
Yeah. And then
because they look the same, right?
Yeah, I'll take Jonah Hill.
Sarah Jessica Parker looks more like me, but Seth Rogen and I definitely are more. We're on the same wavelength.
Well, I think he consumes a lot of pot. So.
Yep.
All right. What profession would you absolutely not like to do?
Roofing. We were up at our cottage helping my papa put on, like, redo the roof with the shingles and all that stuff. And it was so hot. Yeah, I couldn't do it.
Yeah, I agree. My brother did that job, and I've seen people out in the summertime doing that. I don't know how they survive, man.
We've both done trades. I just will not do roofing.
Yeah. I think that's a good choice. All right.
Applaud anyone who can do it, but I'm not one of those guys.
I get a nice tan, I guess. But and lastly, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
I know what I don't want to hear him say.
Yeah. what do I want to hear him say? All right, boss. Like, you lived high. You had a fun life.
I want to hear him be like, good job down there, champ. Or yeah. Like, something
like
that.
Like, I want like a coming off the court, like a pat on the bum. Good job, sport.
Yeah.
That was a good game. Nice. Good game.
As long as he doesn't go, you're in the wrong place.
Yeah.
Okay. Then I'm pretty happy.
I'm pretty sure there'd be a hell of a band in either place, so heaven or the other place. And there'd be some incredible musicians that you get to finally meet and jam with. Both places.
Yeah, honestly, I prefer the music in hell, I'm sure.
Yeah.
The heat, though. I don't do well in the heat.
I don't do well in
the heat. Yeah, I don't know. Me neither. All right. Well, that's it. I mean, it's been a absolute blast talking with you guys, and I can't wait to get out and see you play again. Why don't we wrap it up with one more song? If you guys got another tune you can play for us?
Yeah, sure.
I should tune first, actually.
Are you playing this?
All right.
Cool. Whatever.
Call into me, darling. Listen carefully. I know the world is complicated, so let's turn it off for today. I'll pour the wine. Safe pair of hands to carry the worries on your mind. Wipe your tears when you need your place to cry. I'll hold you up when you need some help to stand. Baby, trust me, I'll be your safe pair of hands. Give in to me. You don't need to speak. Let me pull you close and take you in. Let's get lost, surrendering tonight. Just you and I. Safe pair of hands to carry the worries on your mind. Wipe your tears when you need your place to cry. I'll hold you up when you need some help to stand. Baby, trust me, I'll be your safe pair of hands. They may look hard and work, but they're soft and safe for you. I'll catch you when you stumble. Baby, come here, give me a kiss. Yeah, love can be a trip. This love, I swear it's true. Safe pair of hands to carry the worries on your mind. Wipe your tears when you need your place to cry. I'll hold you up when you need some help to stand. Baby, trust me, I'll be your safe pair of hands. Your
safe pair of hands.
An absolutely beautiful song.
Thanks, man. I wrote that with Jesse, actually.
Yeah, I was funny. I was just going to ask you about that. I know that you guys had written a song together. So that's a beautiful song. All right, Griffin Brothers, Alex, Ricky, it was really a pleasure talking with you for this last hour and hearing some of your music. And we look forward to seeing you again in the future and follow up when you've got some new music released. And good luck on the road this summer.
Yeah, for sure, man. Thanks so much for having us.
It was a blast.
Yeah.
Take care, guys. We'll talk soon.
See you, man.
Makes you think about them good old days, back when there was truth to it, built to last through it. Some things getting better with age. Get a bit of wear on, throw a few miles on, show some pride now on what we made. Get a bit of rust on it. Get a bit of rust on it. Like an old guitar gets better with time. Brand new jeans just never feel right. And a trucker hat ain't no good without a stain. I'm still driving my 87 Ford, two-tone 351 on board. The motor sings like an old tin roof in the rain. Something about rust on it looks good. Don't it makes you think about them good old days? Back when there was truth to it, built to last through. Things getting better with age. Get a bit of wear on, throw a few miles on, show some pride now on what we made. Get a bit of rust on it. Get a bit of rust on it. It up, oh, give it a brand new start. These days, these folks just buy it again. Oh, at the Walmart, something about rust on it. Get a bit of rust on it. Something about rust on it looks good. Don't it makes you think about them good old days? Back when there was truth to it, built to last through. Things getting better with age. Get a bit of wear on, throw a few miles on, show some pride now on what we made. Get a bit of rust on it. Get a bit of rust on it.
Hey, what's up? I'm Alex.
And I'm Ricky.
And we're the Griffin Brothers.
And you're listening to Musicians FAQ with Stuart McKee
on CKMS 102.7 Waterloo.
I'm drinking, I got the place. There's an open invitation to pull up and park in the shade. We got the cooler pack next to the barbecue rack. Lawn chairs soaking them blue skies back. Get no better than that. We're getting buzzed like freshmen in the weekend sun. Digging deep into the ice. Grab the coldest ones, hear the crack. Make them last. It's the first.